nor end. And the I just appears. It doesn't come out of anything, and it doesn't return to anything. Actually, even nothing is born out of the I, because even it is a concept. By believing there is nothing, you continue to create something. The I is the origin of the whole universe. All thought is born out of that first thought, and the I cannot exist without these thoughts. Every story of enlightenment is gone. It's just one more story about the past. If it happened 5 seconds ago, it might as well have been a million years. The thoughts are what allow the I to believe that it has an identity. When you see that, you see that there's no you to be enlightened. You stop believing in yourself as an identity, and you become equal to everything. When mind has nothing to identify as, you experience everything in its beauty as yourself. I used to see my hands and fingers as amazing, transparent things. I would marvel at the light bouncing off the fingers, inside and throughout the fingers. It was like watching molecules being born, a body being gathered, all of it radiant, and it wasn't only with my fingers, it was with everything. Everything is just as beautiful now, only I'm not so shocked. I'm used to whatever universe may appear. It's all acceptable. It's always new. But now it's more ordinary. It has taken on a maturity, a settling in. At the beginning, in 1986, I lived in a state of continuous rapture, so intoxicated with joy that I felt like a walking light bulb. But there was a sense of separation in that. I could see how it frightened some people and how others put me on a pedestal. The radiance continued, but eventually its experience was to appear as ordinary. Until it was ordinary and balanced, it wasn't of much value to people. So if someone asks, it will meet them. It's mature enough just to meet them. Nothing special. People gradually taught me through their example how to communicate. Early on, when someone would say, "It's a nice day," I would often feel like giggling. I might see the statement as the funniest joke I had ever heard. "Ha ha, that's a good one. They think a day is possible." If someone asked what my name was, I might say, "I don't have one." They would ask, "Who are you?" And I'd say, "I don't know." They would say, "Your name is Katie." And I'd say, "No, it's not." They would say, "You're a woman." And I'd say, "That's not my experience." They would ask, "What do you think?" And I would say, "I don't." They wanted to teach me that I was thinking. A couple of women were adamant. They wanted so badly to prove I was actually thinking that for 2 whole days they tried to convince me. They said, "You have to be thinking if you're talking." And I'd say, "Well, I'm not." "But you have to be." They said that I was in denial, that I was just fooling myself. Finally, I understood. I said, "Oh, you believe that if thought arises, you did it." I could hear how they believed that I was thinking, but the truth is that I'm not thinking. Thoughts just arise, though even that isn't true. And if it were, I'm not doing the thinking. I'm being thought. It became more mature, more grounded. It had to understand the world of its old internal self. It had to get used to its own appearance as a personality. It had to get used to its own mirror image as people's stories gave it identity. It's like holding up a mirror to a young child and she doesn't show any interest in it because she doesn't see the image as herself. Then one day you put a new dress on her, and if she understands that it's an image of herself, she is filled with delight. And when she looks into the mirror, she sees the whole world and all the galaxies. That is my body. It's my dress and my nakedness. All things appear simultaneously. All of it is me. Now. Every year, what I call the great scam becomes more unrecognizable. I move from the truth and say, "It's a tree, it's a sky, I'm a Katie," for love's sake. To meet people where they are. Its language has become ordinary. It doesn't appear as smarter or dumber than other people. It doesn't appear as more or as less. It just watches and waits. The more it chameleons and takes on sameness, the more powerful it becomes, the more trusted it is, and the more profound is the penetration. I will say or do anything that's natural. It's mature now. When people ask me my name, I'll say Katie. I'll say, it's cool this evening, or come look at the clouds, sweetheart. Or don't the roses smell sweet? If you tell me it's a tree, I'll agree with you. So you let me into your heart, and then I penetrate. And if you have no interest in the truth, then we can just sit together and have a wonderful time.
The great way is easy, yet people prefer the side paths.
The great way is easy. It's what reveals itself right here, right now. Do the dishes. Answer the email. Don't answer the email. It's the great way because it's the only way. Whatever you do or don't do is your contribution to reality. Nothing could be easier. Nothing else is required. You can't do it wrong. The side paths are your judgments about what you're doing or not doing. It makes life extremely difficult when you call what you're doing wrong, stupid, or unnecessary, when you belittle it after it has been done. To compare what you've done to what you should have done, to think that you need to measure up to some external standard, is a difficult path. What is always the way it's supposed to be right now, and it's always the story of a past. You can argue with the past all you want, and after you've come up with the best, most persuasive, most humane reasons in the world that it should have been different, the past is what it is. Learn from the past, by all means. But if you feel any guilt or shame about it, you are just inflicting violence on yourself, and violence doesn't work. The clear way, the great way, is to begin now. You can't change the projected world, but you can change mind, the projector. Just notice when things are out of balance. You don't have to figure it out. There's a built-in signal that will always let you